Okay, now this Mishnah is going to address the issue of matzah, but we'll soon see that this Mishnah really addresses two issues that are interdependent, and that is matzah and chametz. And the basic principle is going to be that whatever is good for matzah could be good for chametz, and back and forth. You know, the difference is that in one case it fermented, in one case it didn't ferment. So the Torah says in Parashas Bo, Bo'erev tochlu matzos. And that means that you have to eat a kezayis matzah on the night of the 15th of Nisan. And our Mishnah wants to tell us which minim, which species, which categories of grain qualify for the mitzvah of Bo'erev tochlu matzos on the night of Pesach. In Chutzar, it would be the first two nights of Pesach. As far as the balance of the Chag, we're not talking about a chiyuv to eat matzah, but we have to avoid chametz. So if you want to eat matzah, you know, if you want to eat lechem, shall we say, the only option you have is matzah. Elu dvarim sh'adam yotzi bahen yidei chavosa v'pesach. What different species can be used for matzah, to fulfill our obligation on Pesach of eating matzah? And we have five categories. These are the five species of dagon. We have chitim, wheat, seorim is barley, kusmin is what we call today spelt. And again, there are different words for this in different languages. Shifon is rye, and shibolashul are oats. So these are the five categories of dagon, and this is going to be relevant, as we'll soon see, to about five different halachas. Number one, matzah. Number two, chametz. Number three, it'll be relevant to hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Number four, it'll be relevant to the mitzvah of challah. And number five, it's going to be relevant to the Iser of Chadash. It might also be relevant in the Beis HaMikdash in various cases, like Lachmei Toda, and the Carbon of a Nazir is also, to some parts of the Carbon Nazir, comes from Lechem. And basically what we're dealing with is a concept called Lechem, because although the Torah calls it Matzah, the Torah also calls it Lechem. It says Lechem Oni. And Lechem Oni means it's got to be Lechem. We'll see that the word Oni also adds another element into the equation, but Oni. Now, this part of the Mishnah that we've read is going to be the subject of our study today, but we're going to go through the entire Mishnah piece by piece and try to make sense out of it. V'yotzim b'dmai. Okay, now, if you want to appreciate yotzim b'dmai, then you fast forward to the end of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to say, this is about four lines before the end of the Mishnah, Avalo b'tevel. So Dmai and Tevel are two very closely related concepts. They both deal and address with the same issue, just that we change one element in the equation. Dmai is what we call Safek Tevel, and Tevel is Vadai Tevel. So what we're talking about is fruits, or shall we say, grains that grew, and he has an obligation to be mafrish maser. He has to take off 1/10 and give it to the Levi. He's got to take off another, let's say, 2%. Again, it doesn't have to be 2%, but and give that as truma. And until he takes off his trumas and masros, the status of these grains is that of tevel. So what's dmai? Dmai means that we're not sure if tevel, if the trumas and masros were separated or they were not separated. That's called dmai. Does anybody know when this problem arises? In what scenario do I have dmai? So let me explain it to you, because I don't want you to be in the category of a dmai seller. the category of a demai seller, when he sells you grains and it's demai, is an ama aretz. I don't want you to be in that category. So an ama aretz is someone who, because of his ignorance, we'll say it that way, we're a little bit unsure, he's not exactly reliable on the various mitzvahs like trumos u'masros. So if I buy in a store from an ama aretz, I don't know how to treat that grains. You may say, well, let's just ask him. Well, I'm not sure if we rely on him because maybe he doesn't know how much to give and how to be mafresh. Or alternatively, maybe he's not available to be questioned. In the absence of any knowledge one way or the other, and I'm in doubt, the Chachamim called it Dmai. Dmai means my. What's inside of it? You know, is there still Trumas and Maisus inside? He hasn't yet taken it off, or did he take it off? So you may remember that we had a sugya back on Daf Tes, I think, about Cheskas Chaver, that if someone is a Chaver, he's reliable on Afrashas Trumas and Masros. The opposite of a Chaver is an Ama Aretz. And his fruit, his vegetables, I should say, let's go to the Daraisa level, because we're talking about grains, his grains have the status of Tamai. We simply don't know whether he's Mafresh Trumas. So the Rabbanan said, don't eat it. Don't eat. Now, if you have Vadai Tevel, which means we know for sure that the grains were not subject to Afrosha, and he makes matzah out of those grains, and there hasn't been Afrosha of Trumas of Masros, he cannot fulfill his mitzvah of matzah with Tevel. And there are one of two ways of understanding that. One way of understanding it is from perspective of mitzvahs in general. This is what I call a universal principle. There's a universal principle of mitzvahs called mitzvah bav avera. So if you're going to eat this matzah, you're going to violate an isur tevel. Tevel is misa b'dei shemai, very severe isur. That's one way of understanding why tevel completely is excluded from the mitzvah of matzah. The other way of understanding it is that there's some special yalfusa, some derivation that applies uniquely to the mitzvah of matzah, that matzah cannot be something that's subject to other isurim other than one, and that's chametz, meaning had you allowed the dough to rise, it would become an isur chametz, but no other isur, no admixture of any other isur, like tevel, for example, could be involved in this dough that you're baking. So that's going to be a discussion that we... Now, if at the end of the day we're worried about the Isur Tevel in the case of Tamai, and that's exactly what the Chachamim told us, that you have to be Mafresh Trumas and Masros from Tamai, because you have to assume the worst case scenario that the seller, in this case the Amoris, did not take off Trumas and Masros. Then why does that Mishnah say that you're allowed to use Tamai for the mitzvah of Matzah? Isn't there a 50% chance that it's really Tevel? So this is going to be a whole sugya that Amir Tzur will get up to, which is called Rov Ami Ha'aretz Ma'asrim Hein. That we can really establish that most, your average Ami Ha'aretz will take a Trumas of Maestros. The deal with Dmai is kind of like a Chumra D'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan didn't go as far as to say that it's real Tevel, and therefore you would be excluded. It would be excluded from Matzah. Did what I say make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you take Trumas and Maisers after you make?
Lechori, you could. Pashtus, you could. Yeah. You could take Trumas and Maisers from Lechem after Afir. And we're going to see this in the case of Chala, that you can be Mafrish Chala even after baking it. And Chala is basically Truma. So therefore we should apply it here to the case of a matzah, which is basically lechem. But he went ahead and he ate the matzah without taking off Trumas and Masros. Now somebody says to him, wait a minute, what you just ate is tevel. And he has to ask himself, do I have to eat another matzah? Maybe he doesn't even have access to another matzah. He's got to beg, borrow, and steal. So the answer is, well, not steal, because that would be mitzvah of avera, but he would have to maybe sell the shirt off his back. I don't know. Even that I'm not sure, but so the problem is, what about the mitzvah? Did he accomplish the mitzvah if he ate tevel? And the answer is, if he ate tevel, he did not accomplish the mitzvah, because that's not royal mitzvah matzah. But if he ate demai, for some strange reason, which we're trying to explain now, that this whole enterprise of Tamai is only a chumra derabbanan. You know, when I went to high school, I went to Yeshiva University High School. It's called MTA. Anybody ever hear of it? Okay, yeah. If you know anyone who went there, you don't have to feel sympathy for them. Or maybe you do. I don't know. But anyway, so I'm the proud graduate of MTA. So when I was in my sophomore year, I was 10th grade, I had a Rebbe, Rabbi Abba Brandspiegel. So Zayn Gesund, unfortunately, he's not so well. But Rabbi Brandspiegel taught us that Tamai is an Iser Gavra. I'll never forget this. I was about 14 years old, but I still remember it. It's the first time I got exposed to a little bit of brisket terminology. And he said that Tamai is an Iser Gavra. The Cheft itself is not awesome because Rov HaMeoritz Mahasvimim, so we have every reason to rely on Rov, that probably the Amoritz who sold me this produce, he took off Trumas and Maisers, but the Rabbanan said, stay away from it. So that's an Issa Gavra. And when does matzah become possible because of another Issa? That's only if the Issa is inherent in the matzah. It's not that, but here the Torah, you know, the Torah's not telling you there's anything wrong with the matzah. It's perfectly good matzah, just you shouldn't be eating it. Okay. Then we have the following case. Now the next case is very simple. Masa Rishon Shenitla Trumoso. What happens is that the Levi himself, who receives 10%, he's got to remove Truma. You know, just like a Yisrael is Chayav in Truma, so too a Levi is Chayav in Truma. And until the Levi takes off the Truma, then it's considered Tevel. And therefore, if he took off Truma, it's no longer Tevel. Now you might ask, does Masa Rishon have any sort of Kedusha to it? And the answer is no. My submission has no sanctity. It's just a gift of 10% of your produce that you have to give to the Levi. The Levi receives the master. Now the Levi is holding on to Tevel until he takes off the Truma. Once he takes off the Truma, then it's perfectly okay. There's no Issur involved. Okay, fine. Now we go on to the case of Maser Sheni. Okay, now we all know what Maser Sheni is, but let's just go over it. On the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, we take off Maser Rishon and Maser Sheni. The Maser Sheni is another 10%. But this is not, you know, this is not such bad news because it's not that the halacha is requiring you to give up 20% of your income. Really have to give up 10% of your income. That's for the Levi, and that's true for every year until we get to Shemitah. But the Torah is asking you to take another 10% of your produce designated as Maaser Sheni and bring it where? To Yerushalayim. And there you eat it with Kedusha. So once again, since Maaser Sheni is Mutar Bachila, therefore you're allowed to use it for matzah. So you can make a matzah's Maaser Sheni. This is a complicated business because, for example, Maaser Sheni, you're not allowed to eat outside Yerushalayim. So maybe what happens if he's sitting in Illinois, right, that he wants to eat the matzah of Maaser Sheni, you know, he's not allowed to eat the Maaser Sheni in Illinois. He's got to bring it to Yerushalayim. So that becomes complicated. So maybe the Maaser Sheni here means in Yerushalayim. But the pashtus here is that the Mishnah doesn't qualify. It would seem that you could be yotzei with a matzah of Maaser Sheni even chutz Yerushalayim. So how is that possible when it's aser with an isa lav? So the answer is you have to add the word sheniftu. You see, there are two ways of reading this Mishnah. One way is wrong and one way is right. Well, the wrong way of reading it is to put a comma after Maaser Sheni. That's wrong. You have to read Maaser Sheni v'Hekdesh Sheniftu. So the word Sheniftu goes back on both, not only on Hekdesh, but also Maaser Sheni. So what's Sheniftu? What's that called in our language, Sheniftu? Niftu is a verb. What's the noun?
Redemption.
Yeah, in Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh. Pidyon. Pidyon, right? Pidyon. So you have to do a Pidyon on both Maaser Sheni and on Hegdish. Now, what kind of Hegdish are we talking about? Remember, we've discussed in the past many times that there are two categories of Hegdish. There's, thank you, There's hegdesh. How do you get rid of this little thing? I don't know if it bothers. No, okay, whatever. But hopefully, it doesn't bother anybody. Anyway, so how do you get? So there are two. What are the two types of hegdesh? Let's go over this. There's kedushas damim and there's kedushas haguf, otherwise known as kedushas mizbeach. So in the case of kedushas mizbeach, there's no pidyon. But again, I'm not talking about a Baal Smum, but if it's a Tomim, then there's no pidyon. But in the case of Kedushas Domim, otherwise known as Kedushas Perek HaBayis, so for example, if I say about this table, it's Hegdesh, that's called Kedushas Domim, and then I can be Podet, and I transfer the Kedusha over to the Domim. So if I had Hegdesh, and I transfer the Kedusha over to Domim, let's say I had a loaf of bread that was Hegdesh, Kedushas Domim, then I can be poda it. That removes the kedusha from the lechem, from the matzah in this case, and therefore I can use it for the mitzvah of matzah. Okay, then fine. So that's mutar b'achila. And again, ma'aser sheni, even outside of Yerushalayim, becomes mutar b'achila as a result of pidyon. So I can be poda by ma'aser sheni. I transfer the kedusha from the produce over to the Domim, and I take the Domim up to Yerushalayim, and that's where I'll eat the Domim, I'll buy things and eat them with Kedusha. But as far as the original Ma'aser Sheni is concerned, that's already Chulin, because I've removed the Kedusha by virtue of Pidyon, and therefore there's no Dinim here that would block it from use as Matzah. Okay, that's what we have until this point. Now, what about truma? And again, we're talking about matzah that's truma. So I gave the Kohen, let's say, 2% of my produce, and he grinds up the wheat, and so forth. He makes flour, he adds water, he has an isa, and then he bakes it as matzah. So now, truma to a Kohen is not only mutter, it's even a mitzvah for the Kohen to eat the truma. But what about the zar? You know, the non-Kohen, he's not allowed to eat truma. If he eats truma, he's chayav misa b'dei shamayim. So that's why the Mishnah stipulates ha-Kohenim, they can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah b'chala u'b'truma, but only the Kohen who receives chala or truma as a gift, he can be yotzei matzah. However, a non-Kohen can't fulfill his mitzvah of matzah with challah or truma because there's an iser, the misa v'dei shamayim. Now, in the pasuk of matzah, it also mentions chametz, and if you want to make a note of it, this is in Parashas Re'eh. It says in Dvarim Perek Tezayin, lo sochal olav chametz shivas yomim tochal olav matzahs. So the pasuk opens up with the Iser Chametz and concludes with the mitzvah of achilas matzah, and that creates what's called a hekesh. And we derive that you're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah unless it's something that if it became fermented, it would be aser b'chametz. But in the case of truma and challah, that's aser for a different reason, not because it's chametz. That's aser because of what we call zarus, meaning he's not a kohen. So when does something qualify as matzah? When it could have become chametz, and it would be aser midin chametz, as opposed to something that even if it became chametz, it would be aser under a different iser that has nothing to do with chametz. So we need something that's exclusively chametz potential. In other words, exclusively meaning the only iser that you could have here potential in this matzah would be chametz if you allowed it to ferment. But as opposed to, let's say, truma to a zar, which is also, regardless of whether it's chametz, that's not included in the mitzvah of matzah. And all this is based on a Gemara on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Now, in the note here, he says the following. He says, Yesh ofanim, there are certain cases where a non-Kohen, if he eats truma, although he violates the Issa truma, obviously, because he's not a Kohen, He's not stealing from any Kohanim. So imagine if my maternal grandfather was a Kohen. Yeah? I'm not a Kohen. Because my father's not a Kohen. But my grandfather was a Kohen. My mother's father's a Kohen. Now, my mother's father dies and leaves over the Truma to his descendants. Let's say I'm an heir and I inherit Truma from my grandfather. In such a case, if I would go ahead and chas shalom eat the Truma, I'm not stealing anyone's Truma because it's my Truma.
But
I'm a Zar, and therefore I violate the Issa Truma. And that's what we're saying over here, that even if the Truma is not Gzula Biyado, because again, in the simple case of Zar Shachal Truma would be Gzela if a Zar eats Truma. And we're going to have a whole discussion about matzah gzula, that if somebody steals matzah, he cannot use it for the mitzvah of matzah. That's why the poskim say, when you buy matzah, make sure to pay up for it. There's another issue, which I'm not going to get into now, but I'm hoping that by next week we'll get into that, and whether or not you have to have ownership over matzah. Again, you can't steal matzah, but you have to own the matzah. And the issue is very fundamental, because when it comes to Dalet Minim, for example, on Sukkot, the lulav, it says lochem, right? In matzah, it doesn't exactly say lochem, so we don't know if you have to own the matzah.
Are you suggesting if I purchased matzah with my credit card, and the credit card payment was after Pesach?
Serious issue.
Not yet.
Right. But I think we paskin, if I'm not mistaken, that metaltalin niknin be meshicha. So it could be that even if the seller did not yet receive payment, nevertheless, if he had das makna and you did a meshicha, that itself might be a kinyan. Now, meshicha means you have to take it into your reshus. Now, if I invite you to my seder, then how are you kone my matzah? You don't come with your own bag of matzahs. You know, a lot of people, you know, they I have my matzahs. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of chabura matzahs. You know, so I have my own chabura matzahs. But let's say you come to my seder and I offer you matzah. Then now the question is, if you require ownership of a matzah, then meshicha wouldn't work in this case, because even if you lift up the matzahs. Well, even before, we'll get to Yontif as a separate issue. What I'm trying to say is that in Hilchus Kinyanim, whether it would be Yontif or not, you haven't made a Mashicha unless you take it into your Rishus, and now you're in my living room. So it's a problem how you make a Kinyan on it if you hold that you need ownership of Matzah. What do you say? Maybe Yontif Shal Adam. I don't know. It's not so simple.
When people go to hotels, they need to bring on matzah.
Well, it could be that in the case of a hotel, since you paid for the matzah, then all you have to do is lift up the matzah, because here the reshus is not ma'akev. So you own, rental rights in the hotel by virtue of the fact that you're paying for. But anyway, so. Again, not for today, but just futuristic. Keep in mind, we have to know whether you have to own matzah or not. Is it enough that it's not stolen? I didn't take it from anyone else. Or you have to go one step further, you have to own the matzah. And in the case of let's say, Maaser Sheni, right? So what happens? Let's say I'm in Yerushalayim. That's not the case of Amish. Now, Amish is a case where you have Maaser Sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. So you made a pidyon on it. You remember that? But let's say I wasn't podim on my sushain. I have it in Yerushalayim. Well, let's say I go to Yerushalayim and with my mos of my sushaini, I buy matzah. Now the matzah has a certain din to it. It becomes like my sushaini matzah. So I don't own my sushaini. Why? Because we pass in my sushaini mamon gavar. That's a gigantic issue. If we pass in that Maaser Sheni Mom Gavoa, then how can I yotze with matzah Maaser Sheni? It's a real problem. Like, for example, there's a whole sugi about an esrog of Maaser Sheni, whether you can be yotze the mitzvah of lachem, since it's Maaser Sheni. So I'm not sure if it's enough, A, that you didn't steal the matzah, or B, a more profound requirement, far-reaching requirement, that you have to own the matzah. So getting back to this note, he says that the Tzlach quotes a Gemara later on in Daf Lamed Vav, that it seems from the Gemara that in the case of Tevel, you're not Yotze the mitzvah of matzah, and that's only according to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon holds that Ein Isur Chalal Isur, meaning that the Isur Chametz never takes place, it never emerges. Why? Because this is Tevel. So even if Tevel would be made into a bread, right, it would not be Chametz. Meaning it would be Chametz, but Al Pidin it would not have the Isur Chametz. And that's because of Ein Isur Chalal Isur. Hence it can't be matzah. But we don't paskin like Rav Shimon. We paskin that if you have one Isur and then another Isur, again in certain conditions, then the second Isur would be Chal. So then Tevel would become Chametz. So then we have to come up with a whole different explanation as to why Matzah's Tevel is excluded. And then you get into Mitzvah Boba Vera. Well, if you get into Mitzvah Boba Vera, so I don't know, let's say he says, Kol Zeb Nomer Shem Matzah Bizman HaZehu Doraisa, and then it becomes Mitzvah Boba Vera. Achludas Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov Mitzvah Achilus Matzah Bizman HaZeh Rabbono. We didn't get up to this. This is way futuristic. Is Yitzhah Rebbe Mitzvah Rabbonon, there's no psul of Mitzvah Boba Vera. Alright, that's also complicated. When does Mitzvah Boba Vera apply? Alright. Now, all the cases that we had until now, you Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah, everything qualifies. Avolo, now we get to the do nots, right, in the second half of the Mishnah. Avolo b'tevel. So you have Matzah that was made from grains, and there was no hafrashas trumas of masros. The lobe maserishin shalonit lo trumaso, which is also tevel. Why? Because the Levi did not set aside truma. The lobe maser sheni vehegde shaloniftu. So let's say you're outside of Yerushalayim, and you did not make a pigeon on your maser sheni. You're not allowed to eat that maser sheni. So you're not allowed to use it for matzah, because again, we're assuming that if there's an additional iser besides chametz, then it's not kosher for matzah. And in the case of Hegdish Lo Niftu, you have an Isra Me'ila if you eat it, and an Isra Adna as well, and therefore you cannot use Hegdish for the mitzvah of matzah. You know, it's really interesting, because I would have said, you know, Adarabba, if you have Hegdish, then why not use it for matzah? You don't get a double mitzvah. You'll get a mitzvah of eating Hegdish and a mitzvah of eating matzah. But the answer is no, because you're not allowed to eat Hegdish. Hegdesh is osur b'achila because it belongs to Hegdesh, and you haven't yet done a pigeon. So that's why the Reish of the Mishnah says if you did a pigeon on the Hegdesh, then you could be yotze the mitzvah matzah. The Sefer is talking about a case where you weren't poded. Now, remember I told you that the issue of chametz and lechem is applicable in the Beis HaMikdash as well. So let's talk about the following two categories. One is called a carbon todah. Remember, there are four categories of people who experienced a a salvation from a danger. And at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, those four people would have to bring a carbon todah. Now, the carbon todah is made up of forty breads. Okay. And these 40 breads divide up into four different categories of 10 each. And one of those categories is going to be matzah. No, I'm sorry. I'm the opposite. Three out of the four categories are matzah. So 30 out of the 40 lechamim are matzah. And those are called chalos, rekikin, and revucha. You have to know how each one is different. But one category, which is 10 lechamim, is made of chametz. Okay, so now you have the following. The Baal HaKarba, meaning the one who's chayav in the mitzvah of Lachmei Todah, he's going to bring 40 lechamim, and, right, 40 lechamim, and let's say, how many of these 40 go on the Mizbeach? And how many are eaten? So if I'm not mistaken, it works like this. 36 are eaten. and one of each of the four species is brought on the Mizbeach. So four out of the 40 will go on to the Mizbeach. Okay? And the other 36 are eaten. Okay? Now this is based on a pasuk. He quotes here a pasuk in Parshas Naso. Parshas Naso in Bamidbar has a number of highlights, but one of them is the Nazir. And we're going to soon see that the Nazir also has to bring matzah and different kinds of chalos. He has to bring 10 lechomim, not the 40 of the Lachmei Tod. But let's go slowly. So again, as far as Lachmei Tod is concerned, how many lechomim does he bring? 40. How many of them go on the Mizbeach? Wait, slow. And how many different categories of the...
Four
categories. One of those categories is going to be chametz. So that means 10 out of the 40 are chametz. Fine. Next question. How many of these lechomim are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach? Four. One of each category. So you're left with 9 of each category. And those 9 of each category will be eaten by the... It has dinner shlomim if he's eaten by the bailim. By the owner of the... Even though he's not a Kohen. He doesn't have to be a Kohen because it's shlomim is mutal bailim.
Forgive me, am I not right that in a Korban Todah, it's like a suicide
there, you invite everybody else to join. Right. The Netziv says that's why the Torah wants you to have so many lechom, because you're not allowed to leave any of them as nosar. They all have to be eaten. Now... We all like to eat bread, but how much bread can one person eat? So that's the Netziv's famous speculation as to why the Torah jacked up the number of lechomim, because when you want to publicize the miracle of God, you want to spread the word. You know, you have what's called Pirsumei Nisa. Oh, so remember I was telling you about Parshas Naso. In Parshas Naso we have the Parsha of the Nazir. And when the Nazir completes his malos, that means the number of days that he has to be a Nazir, let's say Stam Nazir is 30 days. So at the end of that 30-day period, or some people would have accepted Nazirus for a year, so at the end of that year. So what does the Nazir have to bring? So I don't have a Chumash here in front of me, I should have brought one. But the Nazir has to bring the following. He has to bring an aisle. A karban shlomin, which is made of an aisle, and he's got to bring what's called chalos urikikim. Chalos and rikikim, which again we saw earlier in the case of karban toda, are two categories of matzah, two different types of matzah. Now he's got to bring 10 lechomim of each of these two categories of matzah. He's got to bring 10 chalos and 10 rikikim. Now, so we have now a mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of matzah now applies to the lachmei toda, and the mitzvah of matzah applies to the el nazir. And now the Gemara wants to know, I mean the Mishnah wants to know, can you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, these mitzvahs of matzah, it's the other way around, can you use these matzos, which were designated for karban toda or for karban anazir, rikike nazir, can you use them for matzah on the night of Pesach? Because again, keep in mind that these are karban shlomim, which is mutal, it's mutal abaylam, adarav, it's a mitzvah achilas kodshim. So why can't I kill two birds with one stone? You see, in the case of Hekdesh, I said it's impossible to kill two birds with one stone because you're not allowed to eat Hekdesh. That would be Me'ila. So the only thing you can get out of Hekdesh, you can be pulled in the Hekdesh. But here's a case where you can fulfill two mitzvahs simultaneously with the same matzah, because this matzah on the one end is Lachmei Toda and on the other end it's Rikike Nazir. Right, because again, as we said before, 30 out of the 40 lechomim that the lachmei toda bring are matzah. Again, we have to chop off 3, so it's 9 times 3. But in the case of the nazir, the blood, you know, after his malos is complete, there he's going to be bringing 20. Now, how much is it? Do we say?
time?
Yeah, 20, because the 2 meter in the cave, right? Not 4 meter, I should say, as in the case of Lachmi Toda, but 2 meter, which is called Chalas and Rikikim, 10 of each. And all those are eaten by the Bailim. In this case, the Nazir. Now the Nazir says, Ich bin an Ibra Chacham, he's a big scholar, and he says, well, why not eat it, since it's matzah anyway, for the mitzvah of matzah? And I'm thinking he would have to make two brachos. He would have to make one bracha, Hashem Kitzonu Mitzvos V'Al Achilus Kodshim, and he has to make another bracha, Hashem Kitzonu Mitzvos V'Al Achilus Matzah. That's besides our motzi lechem min haaretz.
Is that chamimus?
That's an excellent question. But let's see what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is not addressing the issue of chavilus, but rather the Mishnah is addressing a question of Kiddusha. And it says the following. Chalos HaToda Urikike Nazir, and he wants to know whether these matzos that are brought with the Korban Toda or for the mitzvah of Nazir, can they be used for matzah? And it depends. The Mishnah says it's contingent. It says the following. Asoli Atzmo Ein Yotzi Behen. In other words, let's say he is a nazir, or he is a baal karban toda. So he's obligated in this. Once he has the obligation, ein yotzim behem yidei chovas matzah. In other words, even though it was the karban wasn't brought yet, normally the lechamim becomes sanctified at the moment of what's called zvicha. That's the first of four avodos. But here, even though these matzos are not kodesh, nevertheless he can't use them for the mitzvah of matzah. And we don't know why. That's the Gemara is going to try to figure that out. However, Asan Lim Karbashuk, if he's not the Bala Karban, but rather he produced these matzos in order to sell them, and at the end he wanted to sell them to someone who's chayev a carbon todo, or somebody who's chayev a carbon nazir, and at the end he didn't find a buyer for it, and now he has these matzahs in his hand, is yotzim behem. He can fulfill his mitzvah of matzah. So the Gemara is going to have to explain later on what's the difference between the case of Asan Liatzmo and the case of Asan Limkar. Tana. Now we go over to the Braisa that's quoted in the Mishnah. Kusmin min chitim. Now I'm going to give you a mashal here. You know about Ovis and Toldos, right? So what the Gemara does is, in this Braisa, it takes apart the five species of grains, divides it into two Ovos, and there are going to be three Toldos. One of those two Ovos is going to have two, and the other is going to have one. So what are the two avos? The two avos are going to be chita and siora. Now, in the case of chita, what are the subcategories, the toldos of chita? They are shibola shual and shifon. So what's being established here is that basically oats and rye are different types of... I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. But spelt is a different kind of wheat, and oats and rye are a different type of barley. Now all this is relevant to what we call kelayim, because you're not allowed to mix two different minim and plant them together. So in the case of kusmin, you'd be allowed to plant kusmin together with chitim. In the case of shibol shul or shifon, you can plant them together with siorin. Okay, so let me read to you the note over here, Chaf Beis. He says that this is also relevant to what's called Afroshas Trumas of Maestris. In Trumas of Maestris, there's halacha of min al mino, but not min al she'eno mino. In other words, I can't take two minim and calculate how much I have and then start taking off 10% from one min to cover the other min. There are a number of dinim that restrict Afrosha's masros. For example, let's say I have last year's masros that grew before Aleph Tishrei, and then I have this year's masros. I can't combine them together into one basket and say, I'm going to take off 10%. Because this masa belongs to last year, this masa belongs to this year. Here, we have a problem because this masa is from Kusmin, let's say, and the other masa is from Shibola Shul. So I can't mix them all together. That would be min al sheino mino. But let's say I have Kusmin and I have Chita. That's already considered min b'mino. I can combine it together, be mafresh one masa from one of those two minim, and it would cover both. Or, for example, Shibola Shul and Shifon would be covered together with Siori. So that's number one. Number two, we have challah, right? So let's say you have two doughs. So you can't be mafresh challah from one dough onto the other dough unless they belong to the same min. Or another din in challah is that you need a shear of chiyuv challah. So let's say, for example, in the old days they used to say that I think the shear of challah is 2.2 pounds. I don't remember. Anyway, so let's say I have 1.1 pound of kusmin and 1.1 pound of chitim, and I combine them together in one sal, then the law would be that I'm chayev challah. But if I would have 1.1 pounds of barley and 1.1 pounds of kusmin or chitim, then I would not be chayev in challah. So that's as far as Trumas and Maisus and Chal is concerned. I'm looking for Kilayim here, but I'm not finding it right now. Alright. So we'll leave out Kilayim.
And that goes for Chal as well, and it's not...
Right, that Chal has to be Min Bimino, and Maisus has to be Min Bimino. And as far as being mafresh from one min to the other, that's a no-no, that's not going to work. And as far as being mitzarif into the shir, if it's one min on another min, that's not going to work. Okay. Now, what are these five minim? So the Bryce actually tells you in Aramaic what they are. Kusmin is called gulba in Aramaic. Shifon is called dishra. Shibola Shuel is called Shabile Tala. And here in the footnote, he tells you that in modern Hebrew, we actually use these words as they are in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. Kusmin. Now you know, don't get confused. There's another word that's very similar to Kusmin. And that's called... What's it called? I'm blanking out here. In English it's called buckwheat, in Yiddish it's called kasha, what's it called in Hebrew? Kusemet. So let's not confuse kusmin with kusemet. Kusmin is spelt, it's one of the five species, and then there's something called kusemet. Kusemet has certain qualities or properties of a grain, but it's really a legume, it's not a grain. Actually, it's full of protein. They say that kusemet is quite healthy, and it's pretty easy on the digestive system. So next time you buy kasha or your wife makes you kasha, appreciate that it's healthy. And then we have shifon. Shifon is called rye, also supposed to be quite healthy. And then we have shibolet shul, the oats. And this category of matzah from oats is very relevant if you know anyone who is gluten free. So I have two grandchildren who are celiac. So they get, you know, they don't necessarily, you know, eat or make hamotzi lechem in aretz on a regular basis, but on Leil Pesach, they have to get this kind of an oat matzah. I think now you can get it in the market. It's yeah, for those who need it. I'm not recommending. Okay, fine.
Very brittle.
Yeah, I saw it on the box. They tell you to bake it. They tell to put it in the oven. Yeah. They know that it doesn't taste too good. Anyway, so the Gemara now tries to clarify these dinim that were brought in this brisa. Hani in. There are only five species, but orez v'dochen lo. Rice cannot be used for matzah. That's called orez. Now, some say that our rice is really dochen, and dochen is called millet. Have you ever seen it? It's a little bit similar to rice. It's kind of a little harder than rice. Rice also can get hard if you overcook it. But you cannot make matzah out of rice. And this has tremendous implications. Because if you cannot make matzah out of rice, it means you cannot have chametz out of rice, which means that we should be eating rice on Pesach. And that's exactly what most, not all, but most Sfaradim do. Because there's no way, no how, that you can make a bread, a chametz, out of rice flour. And even though today, you know, especially, and maybe back in the day as well, you can make some pretty sophisticated kinds of cookies and stuff from rice. But they call parchiot. You know what I'm talking about? Those little mini bits and stuff like that. Anyway, this is going to be a gigantic machlokus in the Gemara between the Chacham and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is going to insist that you can make bread out of rice. Hence, he's going to expand the number of species for matzah and for chametz to include the 6 species. And then Dochan has the same status as Orez. And even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but the Ashkenazim have taken upon themselves to worry about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, rice could be chametz gomor if you allow it to ferment. Again, the Chacham say it'll never actually ferment. But according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that minimum amount of fermentation is enough to cross the, now that we've counted the votes of the soldiers, that's enough to cross the boundary line, right? So we're going to let you in to the chametz matzah club. And once you're a member of that club, you know, you could have a lot of influence. You could manage to change the whole world. And now as a result of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's shita that rice is included in the minim for matzah and lechem, we're going to have what's called the Iser Kidneos. Now, I don't know, does everybody here oblige or how should I say, not fulfill, what word am I looking at? How do you say when you're careful about an Iser? What word in English to... Does everybody here follow the minhag of kidneys? Subscribe. Okay, we'll use that word. Subscribe to the Iser Kidneos? Yes? Okay. Because today, you know, with all the...
Now it probably won't be able to exist.
Yeah. Today, in our contemporary life, with all the modern orthodoxy, they're trying to get rid of kidneys for Ashkenazi. And there's an agenda here, because not only do they want to eat rice on Pesach, that itself is enough of an agenda, but it's more than that. They want to make shalom and peace between the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazi, you know what I'm saying? Like, for example...
You think that's the...
There's also a little bit of an agenda, because in certain circles, I'm not going to mention a particular yeshiva that I think of, you know, with a capital G, in certain yeshivas, they want to completely equalize Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, and therefore, you know, all the inhibitions that Ashkenazim have about marrying Sfaradim and so forth, that all has to go down the tubes. So the less distinctions there are between, for example, they'll tell you that we don't have in our shul, there is no minhag. Whoever gets up there as a shliach tzibur, if he's a Sfaradi, he'll daven Sfaradi. If he's, you know what I'm saying? All this is part of this wonderful movement of unity, which is great. You know, but I don't know. You see, you have to be very careful, because you know, unity doesn't mean to undermine the traditions and the customs of each Eidah. And even amongst Ashkenazim, or for that matter, even amongst Sfaradim, you break down to different Eidot. So this idea of equalization, you know, it became almost a political thing, you know, that we have to equalize, you know. So if the Sfaradim eat kidneys, then we also have to eat kidneys. And a Rav here in Israel, you know, if he's an Ashkenazic rabbi, I'm exaggerating now, but I would tell you that 90% of the shilas he gets over the course of Pesach are all about kidneys. Especially for Olim Chadashim, they're totally boggled by it, because, you know, about 55% of the population of this country are Sfaradim, and they eat kidney oats. So like, for example, when I was brought up, we ate macaroons. You remember the good old macaroons? So now most of the, I'm not telling you all the macaroons, but a lot of the macaroons that you get here in Israel, it'll say, we ochle kidneys bilvad. And you come in Aliyah, and either you see it or you don't see it. And if you don't see it, then you assume you're allowed to eat it. And if you do see it, you're totally confused. Like, why are they telling me I can't eat macaroons? You know what I mean? But I can give you a million examples of that. I'm just giving you macaroons because I love macaroons. So I have a problem in this country because it's hard to get mac. So Erev Pesach, I'm eating macaroons like crazy. You know what I mean? Chumus, for example. Chumus is kidneys. So if you don't have the meaning of chumus, of kidneys, you know, Pesach is a great holiday because you can eat all the chumus in the world. But for chumus lovers and Ashkenazic chumus lovers, they're in trouble when it comes to Pesach because you've just robbed them of that pleasure of Yontif, which is called chumus. All right.
Years ago in the States, for Pesach, they would come out with
a
peanut oil.
Right. Rabbi Shai, I think, is mater peanut oil, if I'm not mistaken.
Sega, that was
and cottonseed oil.
Right, but that went away. You don't find this
here. We're still holding on to quinoa. You know, although that's also getting ripped away from us. But I heard now that the OU does give a hechsher on quinoa for Pesach. For a while, they weren't giving it.
The first year it came through.
And then they rescinded it.
Right.
And now they went back.
Well, that's because
it has to do with Rabbi Belsky.
Correct.
Okay, I'm telling you, kidneys is a heavy issue. You can spend hours and hours, but I'm saying if you want to know where in Shas is kidneys, it's right here. On Imsachim Daf Lamed Hey, this is the source for the problem of kidneys. So the Gemara says, Minani Mili. From whence do we derive this halacha? Right, that orez cannot be used for matzah. Omar Rav Shimon Lakish v'chein tonin de bei Rabbi Yishmael v'chein tonin de bei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Omar Kro, the pasuk says lo so chalalav chametz shivas yomim tochalav matzahs. There's a hekesh here between chametz at the beginning of the pasuk and matzah at the end of the pasuk. Dvarim ha'boim lidei chimutz. If you have something that could become chametz. Just make sure that after you make the dough, it doesn't stay unkneaded, you know, kneaded with a K, I mean to say for 18 minutes. Yatsu elu, but to the exclusion of orez v'dochan, she'ein boim lidei chimutz, that you can leave him from now until Mashiach tzait, it doesn't become chametz, and therefore you can't use it as matzah. So wait a minute, what does happen? I mean, there's something that looks like fermentation. Elo lidei sirachon, it has some sort of a process, which is actually a spoiling process, but it's not to be identified as fermentation. But masnisin, that Mishnah and the Brice that only limits it to five grains, but at the exclusion of Oriz Vidokan to low kir Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Omar of Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that Oriz Mindogan who that Oriz is the fifth species. And I think when he says Oriz, I'll double check this for you in a minute, he refers to Dochan as well. And Chayov Malchimutzai Kares. And if you bake, you know, with this flour that's made of rice flour, you bake a bread and you eat it on Pesach, then you violate an Isur Kares. By the way, it's, you know, the machlokas here between Chachom and Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri is extreme, polar extreme. It's not that Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri says, you know what, Orez could create Chometz Nuksha, you know, some new category, which is maybe an Isur La, but it wouldn't engender Kares. But he says, no, you chayv Kares. You eat rice bread and your chayv kares. You know, in some countries, like in Asia and so for the East, they that's what they eat. They eat rice. You know, the rice is very common over there. Desanya, we have a rice. So now, what happens if you make matzah out of rice? According to Rabbi Yochanan Nui, you're yotze. Rabbi Yochanan Nui, oser be'oriz v'dochan mipnei shekarv lahachmitz. Shekarv lahachmitz. So this brisa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is quoted as saying that if you have a tavshil, you cook something with orez or dochan. Now it says explicitly dochan, and you eat it on Pesach. You see, that's a no-no. Why?
What's
karv lahachmitz? So this is a gigantic machlokus in the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi has two opinions about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and it's really a distinction between the Gemara that we just learned and this Braisa that we just read now. From almost like from one line to the next, the Gemara is vacillating on the machlokus and the Yushalmi. One day the Yushalmi says, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you're not allowed to eat a bread from rice, but it's not chametz gomer. It's a kind of miktas chimutz. There's a gray area that's not white, not black. You know what I mean? You know, there's certain things. You know, you take potatoes and you make matzah or lechem out of potatoes. You know, and I could fake you out. They have such sophisticated methods of using potatoes today: potato starch, potato flour. That I can probably. I've seen biscuits, and they tell me, "Well, it's gluten free." I said, "What do you mean gluten free? That can't be gluten free. It's made of potatoes."
Yeah, but I never seen rice ferment or anything.
I don't know. Well, the Gemara in the Yushalmi says, "Why don't we just make a bedika? Why don't we just check it out?" Because Yushalmi understood in his Havam, you know, that the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chacham is a machlokes in Mitzius, in Mitzius. And the Gemara says, Nivdaku, we have Tanoim, the Halakha Tanoim are debating what's the story with rice. Is it commonly dechimut, or it ferments, or it becomes sirachon? Well, why don't we just check it out? So the Gemara says that they checked it out, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, that's chametz. And the Chacham say, it's not chametz. Meaning, it wasn't about locus of mitzvahs. They knew exactly what the reality was. So the question is, how did the Torah treat that reality? You know, it's that gray area. It's got some elements of chimutz, and it's missing other elements of chimutz. So Rabbi Yochanan says it crosses the border, the boundary, and what's his name? And the Chachamim say, no, this doesn't qualify as chimutz. Iboilahu. And now the Gemara is going to vacillate, and this is very similar to the Yushalmi. Again, we may find certain, let's say, nuances of distinctions from this to Yushalmi. And Iboilu, the Gemara vacillates. Karav lahachmitz. What did Rabbi Yochanan Nuri mean when he said karav lahachmitz? Does he mean kadim umachmitz? That it speeds up the process? In other words, in the other minim, you know, let's say chimutz will take 18 minutes after you put the water in the flour. Here, it's going to take 10 minutes, and it's already chametz. And if you eat it, you chayev karetz. If you eat it b'shogeg, you'll bring a chatos. Is that what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri meant? Oh, Dilma, or maybe he meant something else. Karev lahachmitz havi, it's close to becoming chametz. For chametz gomer lo havi, it's not really chametz gomer. And again, you'll ask the question of the Yushalmi, Nivdekinu, why don't we do a bedika? Why don't we check out the reality and see what it is? I mean, it's not so complicated to take rice flour and make and add water to it. But apparently, there's going to be a chimutz of some sort, some minimum type of chimutz, and the machlokus is going to be whether that chimutz is considered chametz or not. Does it have a shame chametz? You see, here's where you have a distinction between what I call biology and halacha as a legal system. You know, you may look at something and say that biologically this is not fermentation. In the chemical definition of fermentation, this is not. But it could be that the halacha of, you know, it has a category of recognizing something as chametz. That's a whole different reality. So the, you know, we're not talking about biological chemical reality. We're talking about legal reality. Is Toshma the Sanya of a Bryce over Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Orez min Dogan uva Chayovim al Chimutz Akarets? We had this Bryce before, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri goes on record as saying that rice bread generates a chiyuv kares, and not only that, if you make it, if you really bake it fast before the 10 minutes goes by, other yotzei b'yedei chovasim in Pesach, he can fulfill his mitzvah of matzah, so you can have rice matzah on Pesach. I, if I'm not mistaken, rice has no gluten in it. Am I right?
Right.
Oh, so if rice is gluten-free, and you're all like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, there's a very simple solution to those who have a problem with gluten. Okay. But the problem is we don't pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. V'chein hoya Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, omer karmis chayeves bechala. Alright, so now we have something called karmis. So we'll lean into tomorrow, we'll talk about karmis. Does anybody have the art scroll here? Because I was trying to figure out exactly what karmis is. The Gemara identifies it with shitznisa, but shitznisa is an Aramaic word, so it doesn't help me at all. In the footnote here, he calls it katzach. Katzach is, I think, called kimmel. You know those little black things?
Yeah.
they put them in like rye bread. Again, I don't know what they do with katzach today, but does he tell you, Steve? What do you
mean? So that's fennel, but that's not what.
Oh, fennel.
But that's what those.
Oh, katzach is called
the
fennel. Ah, I didn't know that was called fennel. I thought it was called what did I think it was called? I just said it. Those black things. That's called fennel.
Kimmel.
Ah, maybe kimmel is a different language. It's not English. Maybe kibble is the same as fennel. Maybe. I don't know. But so Steve, is he willing to commit himself that karmis is fennel?
No.
No.
He's saying that it grows by the fennel.
Oh, that's where you find it in the natural universe. You know, as if you.
Yeah, but I don't think.
Ah, so does he finally come up with a word for it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so he says
shitza.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the word identifies as it's shitza nisa.
Right,
I mean,
so
that,
that's okay.
It sounds like schnitzel, but it's not schnitzel.
Right, so it goes through a karamis.
Oh, he goes through possibilities. At the end, he calls it fennel? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fennel, by the way, is very good as tea for the stomach. If you ever have any stomach issues, you know, those bubbles and all that, cramps and all that stuff, try fennel tea. I'm not saying it's the most tasty tea. You might have to develop. It's what we call an acquired taste. But fennel tea is supposed to be, like the Chinese drink a lot of fennel tea. So now we know that fennel could possibly become chametz, according to Yochanan ben Nuri. And if you even ask me, I would say fennel is a seed. It's not in any way similar to a grain. So again, we have to go through the whole mitzvah. We have to do a lab test and check it out. Okay, Rav Moshe, let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos. Shabbos HaGadol. It should be a big, big Shabbos. A very important Shabbos. And I'll see you Rishon Sunday. I'll be here Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday if everything goes well. And then I'll have to wish you a final lehitraot kind of thing for Chag HaPesach. Okay then? So let me just shut this off.